The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of Valerie, her guests, and callers. Now here's your host, Valerie Kirkgaard.
Here I am. You can tell I was very, very eager to be here today. We're in our 23rd year of doing radio here, and I'm really delighted to have you with us today, and many of you know us from the past. We love to create dynamic radio dialogues on issues that matter. So I want to thank Emergency Management Solutions, also known as EMS Global One, because we have its president, founder, and just general good leader here on the show today helping out with something that I've observed lately about bankruptcy, and I'll tell you more about that in a minute. If you want to ask a question while we're on the air, you can actually send me an email at val@wakingupinamerica.com, and if the timing's right and all the forces are good, we'll read that on the air and get an answer for you. I'm Dr. Val Kirkgaard, and in 1984, I carried the Olympic torch. And if you know what it's like, once you pick up a torch, you just don't go, I don't think I'll carry the torch anymore. You just keep carrying it, and you figure out how to lift it higher. And let me tell you something, a little bit of a secret. The higher you lift the torch, actually, the easier it gets. And C.W. Wright and I are here today lifting our torches for the possibility of a better world and a better America for you. And I want to invite each of you as you listen to this to pick up your own torch. And what you do once you pick up the torch is you go over to AmericaCanBeFree.com and you sign up for a class with Tim Turner, and then you'll find out what it is that we're up to and how powerful we actually are and how incredibly ignorantly we have been misguided and sent in the wrong direction. Now, whether or not you guys know it or not, the bearers of the 2,000-year-old Olympic flame, we're all about Sidious Altius Fortius, which means swifter, higher, and stronger. We have to take vacations periodically because you can't keep that going every minute. But let's say in each moment you have a choice, and you have a low choice and a high choice. And as Dan Millwood would say, sometimes you just have to take the low choice and give the basic self pizza and rock and roll. Most of the time you can keep lifting your torch. So we've had a lot of great torch lifters here, and I was just talking to CW before we started the show, and I was talking to him about being in bankruptcy court. But before I do, I wanted you to know how CW got involved in what it is that we're talking about here with the secured party creditors and the different paperwork and bankruptcy and all the different things that go with that. So CW, how did you get involved in this work?
A few years ago, I was selling my business and looking for retirement and or to do something else, actually. And about 11 months into the sale, the group that was purchasing my business decided to quit paying.
And how long ago was that?
2006.
2006, so it's been 4 years already.
It's been 4 years already, and they looked to change the terms, and I disagreed with those terms and then set out to do what any red-blooded American would do, and that is get an attorney. And things went downhill from there.
Right.
Now, although I did win my case, there were many things that the judge did not allow the jury to hear. So when I say I won, I actually still lost because there was a lot of the contracts that made this agreement left on the table and ruled by the judge and not by the jury. Everything the jury heard, I won. Everything the judge ruled against me. And so I'm looking to change that, and I started looking around for remedies, other alternatives. I knew they had to exist because I couldn't believe our judicial system operated.
Exactly.
And through several months of research, I ran into a young man by the name of Tim Turner. And did a little research with him, and luckily he was speaking in Oakland within a couple of weeks of learning about him, I went up, saw him, and immediately was in awe with the knowledge that this man had relating to the law. And I'm not just talking about somebody's opinion. I'm talking about the law.
Yeah, the actual experience and the conclusions and the whole ball of wax.
Right. And it's amazing how much law out there exists that we don't know about that, if we used, would be in our favor.
Oh, my God. I mean, even without the law, just if you understand the rights that we have.
That's right.
You're talking about, you know, how you came to it through a legal thing. I came to it through it because I was making $100,000 a month, and then my economy crashed. Mm-hmm. And I went from $100,000 a month to $1,500 a month. I lost a condo hotel in Hawaii and a house in Idaho. And I thought, you know, I just don't have the energy to protect everything, but I'll go with my main house, and there's something wrong here. I didn't know what it was, CW. I just knew it couldn't be right. It didn't make sense to me.
It isn't right, because it seems like as long as you're producing the big dollars, the authorities think you're okay. But you stop producing, or you get a hiccup somewhere in your economic life, all of a sudden you're a doormat to them.
Oh, totally. My land in Mexico that I was buying and selling, I was selling one or two of them a month. Went from one or two a month to two in a year, you know? So anyway, we all come to where we come to from different positions, but what happens is we're all looking around going, there's something better than this, I know. So CW and I both have a great opinion of Tim Turner's person, his persona, his thinking, and particularly the fact that the marvelous man has actually created paperwork that works inside of the legal system, and he has successfully pulled off a couple of big cases, one of them the Alabama court. So you can, what should they Google, CW, Alabama court, Tim Turner?
If you're looking it up for the first time, I would Google Tim Turner, Alabama court case.
Yeah, there you go. And put that on your list and look at that, because that's going to be one of your first pieces of verification. See, okay, so I decided that IndyMac Bank was not going to get my house, and I was going to do whatever I could. So I started getting on the Internet, and I found myself a quack attorney who actually I learned a really good piece of information from, bless his heart. I learned about, it was my first introduction to the concept of wedding signatures. And CW, maybe you want to mention to people what a wedding signature is.
Well, the wedding signature is the actual document you sign by your hand when you're in the loan process or the mortgage process. And oddly enough, it is that item that needs to be produced to help demonstrate their claim when you're in a foreclosure process. And we've learned many of the people that's bringing forth the claim against you can't produce that document.
And even if they can produce the document, CW,
well,
you have to have them produce it with a cover sheet, because you'll find out that your thing that they're supposedly trying to collect from you, they've already been paid for it, sold.
They've already been paid for it, which makes the contract that you signed, I'm not even sure they're illegal contracts, and I'll tell you why in a moment, but they did not deliver you full disclosure. And that's what
where the money was coming, quotes, the money was coming from.
Exactly. And that's one of the things that makes mortgage contracts or renders them illegal.
You know what's fun here, too? Remember I said that I lost Idaho and I lost the Hawaiian Islands? The beauty of this conversation is once I get my basic home taken care of, I can go back on these other things, right, CW? Because fraud has no time limitation.
That's correct.
So, and the paperwork for doing all the stuff that we're talking about, it already exists. It's not a dream in the future. The question is, I was in bankruptcy court last Thursday. I had to appear against Deutsche Bank, okay, who seems to have bought my loan from IndyMac Bank, and it turns out that they were planning on selling my house in 2 weeks, but they'd never even told me that they had the loan or that they never notified me of a trustee sale or anything like that. So I'm trying to decide
that's an
best
illegal
way to get
foreclosure.
Them. Pardon?
If you are not notified within at least 7 days before the sale date, this is most states, then your foreclosure could be illegal.
Well, it would have to be, wouldn't it?
It would have to be. If you're not notified, your foreclosure could be illegal.
But here's
check
the problem
with
that.
Check with your state on that.
If this happens in your state, you want to go to court and you want to complain as soon as possible, because what they will do is they will tie up the paperwork. Even if you don't know all the rules of being a secured party creditor and stuff, there's a lot of ways to throw wrenches in the machinery.
That is correct. There's a lot of wrenches, and this is what the judicial system and the folks bringing you the claim are counting on, that you do not know or understand how to treat them or how to handle them in court. And when you don't, then they can just push you around and tell you what they think is true, and you're going to believe it.
So I got it. This is so perfect, CW, that you said that. So I'm sitting there in the court, and I'm always thinking about how can I take all these big fat tools that I have that I've learned from Tim Turner, negative reverberance, and, you know, lead, maritime leads, and the whole kind of thing. How can I take this, and how can I actually walk into the court? Is there a way I can walk into the court and use their own paperwork against them, okay, without making all these big declarations and stuff? Because I think if we could use their own paperwork against them, it would be fun. So I informed the bankruptcy court that I was going to pay for my entire bankruptcy. Here was my plan, okay? That I would write a bonded promissory note, and I would pay for my entire bankruptcy for the bonded promissory note, and I even included my family members and things like that had given me money over the years, and I was just going to make sure everybody got something. And I took some paperwork to court saying what a bonded promissory note was, but the Judge Geraldine wanted me to be more specific about it, and I decided that I would be careful here because I had an instinct, CW, and you're going to tell the listeners why that was a good instinct. My instinct was not to put my own interpretation of it in the court at that moment, because she said she'd give me 3 minutes to persuade her, right? I said, I've given you the papers, you can read that, and She said that the bank had the right to sell my house, and even though it was scheduled originally for May 28th, which was in a week or so, I didn't even know about that it was scheduled. So I felt as though I had had a close call there. What I will tell you is that they will put it off into the future. The judge told me to go home and prepare to sell my home and to basically get my stuff packed, that she'd put off the sale until July the 15th. So, of course, I called my friends who are secured party creditors, and I said, okay, what are the different things we can do? One of the things we talked about, CW, maybe you want to let them know what a bonded promissory note is.
Well, a bonded promissory note is like writing a check off of your own bonds, and you create your bonds after you become a secured party creditor. You'll have a birth certificate bond, you'll have your indemnity bond, then you'll have your private offset bond, then you have your bonded promissory note. And what you're doing is the several bonds are putting the Treasury on notice of what you're doing, and they accept these, they know exactly what they are. They have kept them, for lack of a better word, secret all these years. And but it has to be done properly, and I'm not going to go spend a lot of time on that. But the process is when you have all that in place, the BPN that you write is like writing a check.
And he's just saying BPN is a bonded promissory note.
Bonded promissory note. Now, the judge knows what these are, and they know they have to accept these. Now,
she had me fooled. CW, I'm telling you, she totally had me fooled.
They're going to test you to make sure you know what you're talking about. Now, I'm not saying you didn't know what you were talking about, but she was looking for something quick and snappy from you. That's why she only gave you 3 minutes.
Well, that was why I didn't want to answer, because I didn't want to say something that she could disqualify me on.
Right, but she
and I figured I'd get her on the appeal. Okay,
she also gave you an out. She put off the sale. So now go ahead and write your BPN and send it in.
Okay, here's what I wanted to do, okay? This is my plan so far, because I have been talking to people and I'm having so much fun. Okay, mm-hmm. So definitely I'll do the bond and promissory note and we'll send that in I've got to get the full amount of the entire bankruptcy. Okay, that was plan number one, because what that does is it pays Deutsche Bank. I don't care. I'm worth so much money. Who cares? At this point, I just want to complete the deal, complete the past, and move into a glorious future. That's my plan.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the wonderful part about all of that. What is it? I'm probably a billionaire, wouldn't you guess, inside of the system?
Oh, at least.
At least. The interesting thing is you are too. Carol is. Charles Jr. is. Sadie, everybody in this country is.
And anybody with a Social Security number right now are too. They just
every single person is already a billionaire. The difference between us and you, we know it, and we're in process. Would you not say so, CW?
That would be a safe statement. Yeah.
And we know how to enjoy life.
And
okay.
You need to enjoy life.
And we're here to do that. Okay. And as you begin to claim what is yours and you learn how to do it, there are certain people that are very skilled at it. Tim Turner is really skilled at it. The truth of the matter is, though, I think he's going to like wear himself out, CW. We've got to help him. The man is amazing.
We've been getting relaxed when we can, but I tell you, that man runs from anywhere from 4 o'clock in the morning to 2 o'clock in the morning on a daily basis. And when I'm around, I try and get him to take a deep breath occasionally, and he does for a moment, but it's not enough. We need more time. He's on a rigorous road schedule, as you know right now. And we got a couple more weeks of this, and then we're going to send him home for a while, get him some rest.
That's really good. And Billy Ray has been working himself off, too. So,
oh, Lord, yes.
There are just so many people that are behind you and letting you know what's going on. They've got the information. We're doing everything we can. We've had a lot of technical difficulties. Unbelievable list of things I can't. It's staggering. Anyway, I think it's. I think they're handled, so the website should be in pretty good shape by next week at wakinguponamerica.com. And what you want to do is we're going to have the Restore America video there. It'll be right there on the home page, so no problem. You can send people over that want to see that, and we're getting a copy of the declaration. And
you're going to get the official copy and get it up on your website, right?
That's it. So you'll be able to get that over there. And I'm sorry, I don't know if you saw the thing or not, but somebody sent me a picture of the Constitution on the wall,
mm-hmm.
and Barack Obama crossing off parts of the Constitution.
Oh, no.
So if you go over to the Waking Up in America website, you can see the Constitution being crossed off. And if we let him get away with it, shame on us.
Well, let's not let him get started on the Declaration of Independence.
Well, you know, it's not going to matter because it's we know what it's like to be free, for God's sake. It's still in our genetic memory.
That's correct.
Okay, so we're reclaiming that, and that's what's going on here, and that's why we can run people around so wonderfully. So one of the things while we were talking about was running them around as far as the bankruptcy issue was concerned, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to challenge her decision. What about that?
Well, you can do that on appeal, of course.
Yeah,
but
most
of the time appeals don't work. But the way you would challenge it is using what we call a negative averment.
Well, let me ask you a question though. Why, if first of all, this is a federal court, okay? And state court in the state of California is either crazy or run by burglars. But in the California court. You know, I forgot what I was going to say. The burglar thing threw me off. See, that's what that's what being upset with people does. I don't remember. You're supposed to save me at this point, don't you know that?
Yeah, I'm
for
trying
God's
to think.
For God's sake, man, save me.
I was just in shock. The great Dr. Val. No, this can't be.
It was the burglars part. I got all caught up in the burglars of the state of California, and I lost it.
Well, there's plenty of burglars here in the state of California that we look to help lead us, and that's one of the problems we've gotten ourselves into. We've got into a very comfortable lifestyle, and we don't want to be bothered with because we are so comfortable. And because we don't want to be bothered, the authorities, the burglars, run rampant on us now, and they're slowly, very slowly, taking away more rights each and every day.
And before, that's what you'll see on the website, you know?
You bet. And folks, I know it might be uncomfortable, but if we do not stand up and be heard, this is going to continue to the point where whatever lifestyle you have now will not exist anymore. And if we do this together, with all the numbers, with all of us together, we can correct this. And I'm not. And
it's actually
when we
being
talk
corrected
about this
right
stuff,
now.
Stuff, we're not talking about we need a new government or anything like that. We don't need that. Our government is fine. We got the best government in the world. What we have are problem people running it, and we have to change that. We need to get that changed.
We need to
bring the fourth branch of government into play. A lot of people don't know we have four branches. You know about the three, right, Dr. Bell? You have the executive branch, the legislative branch, and you have the judicial branch. You know what the fourth branch is?
The fourth branch, let's see. In God we trust.
We better, but the fourth branch is the people. The people, when they're organized, run those three. Those three would not exist without us. But slowly they have turned it around to where they made themselves in total control of us, and we have nothing to say about it. We need to change it back to the way it was originally intended. Once we do that, your freedoms will abound. And your current, even if you stay at your current earning capacity, you'll be surprised at how much more spending power you'll have, because people won't be there nickel and diming you with taxation all the time.
Yeah, you guys send me an email at val@wakingupinamerica.com, and what I will do is I will send you the Restore America video, okay? And that's a wonderful video. The only thing that's different in it, Tim said that he didn't get cured of leukemia in 5 days. It actually took, 5 days. It actually took 5 weeks. And that was the only inaccuracy in the video. And what CW is pointing to, you'll see very clearly defined there. I think that probably my hardest thing with this bankruptcy thing is that the layers of duplicity, which I come involved with, I mean, here I was watching this, federal judge, okay, CW. Mm-hmm. The difference between a federal judge and a state judge is that the state judge doesn't have to see a wet signature. It's actually legal in the state of California.
Yes.
To just have a Xerox copy. However, that's not true for federal judges.
That's correct.
Okay, so here's what I wanted to appeal to the federal judge on. First of all, no judge wants to have their opinion overturned by somebody else.
They sure don't.
Okay, so Tim Turner has already won in an Alabama court, and what he won for was he sued the Alabama court with a maritime lien and a, I can't even think of the word right now, negative averment.
Yeah, he did the negative averment first, and then when the courts defaulted, he gave them plenty of time to cure the default. And they refused to do that. Well, Tim spent a lot of time, gave him lots of time. He only needed to give him 21 days or so, or 30 days tops. But he gave them lots of time to cure this, and they refused to do it.
He wanted them to apologize, CW.
That's all he wanted.
All he wanted, and he would have dropped the whole thing. But because these buggers wouldn't apologize, they've lost their jobs. The negative averments are nasty little things. They get everything.
It's turned into a maritime lien. You know the value of that?
It's multi-billions of dollars, is it not?
Over $5 billion. Because
I thought it was actually more than that.
Apologize. Well, the one I know of, there's more than one, but the one I know of is over $5
billion. Yeah, it's actually more than that. So here's what I was going to tell this dear federal judge. You know, here's an Alabama court that refused to accept a bond and promissory note. Don't you think that would be a good argument?
That's an excellent argument.
And I'll tell you something else. There's that Ohio case, okay, that has to do with wet signatures, which is also a federal case. If I put in there, because the whole time she claimed she knew nothing about what I was talking about. So I say, well, I thought I'd use the appeal to actually inform her of what I was talking about.
Do you think that would work? Yes. If you're going to operate in their judicial world, you'll need to find the case law to support your
exactly, but
plan.
Here's the beauty of it. At the same time, because I brought in a bonded promissory note, which is from another world, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can I that not do a negative averment on them if they give me any baloney? And can I not then get them for billions of dollars and close down the central bankruptcy courts?
If it's done properly and they don't respond properly, you betcha.
So, see, this is what I want to do this kind of blend of the maritime and the equity. Like, I want to kick them in the butt in both courts.
You want to eliminate the equity side altogether because that's where the gray areas come in and allows them to make decisions on your behalf, and they can use case law more in their favor than your favor.
But how could they when it's against the law for wet signatures? They have to accept wet signatures to prove the original contract in federal courts.
When you're in the court, Dr. Val, what is the law at that time?
That's equity law.
But what is the law at that time when you're in equity court?
What
law are we operating under?
We're operating under commercial law.
It's commercial law, but you're operating under the law, whatever law the judge, the judicial system wants it to be at that moment.
Whatever's in the judge's playbook.
That's why they call it color of law.
No, say why they call it color of law again. I don't know this one.
The law they're operating under in equity is whatever law that they deem it to be. So whatever they say is law at that point in equity law, equity court. They can make it up as they go. They can even lie to you about it. They are allowed to do that. And that can be easily proven. Anybody that's been to court and watched the swearing in of everybody at one time, you never see an attorney get sworn in. There's a reason for that. They'll
Why?
Say, well, we're already sworn in because we're bar members. Well, the fact is, they don't come underneath the same judicial law that you do.
Well,
they are allowed to lie, whereas you are not. You're promising, you're swearing on the Bible, promising to tell the truth. You don't see them doing that.
Very interesting. So you're thinking, that I should... See, I like the idea of being able to beat her at her own game.
You can do that with the negative averment because if you construct that properly, you take them out of equity into an admiralty state of law.
And admiralty law, for those of you who may be new to this program, admiralty law actually is law that has no injured party. Perhaps you want to mention a little bit about
admiralty,
that.
Yeah, admiralty law is a maritime law. And what we are looking to do away with, we're lobbying against, is if you're convicted of something, whatever that might be, if there's no injured party, no physical injured party, you know, how could there be any really, what have you really done wrong? I mean, stop and think about it.
Oh, don't tell them right now. Make them wait until after the commercials.
Okay.
That's the best way to do it. And that way,
Dr. Val.
They'll be panting by the time we get back. We want to acknowledge the good guys. So after the break, CW is going to give you the scoop. And boy, that guy knows how to scoop. You want 100,000 names to have your advertising sent to. 100,000 high-quality names, people that actually spend money and... really appreciate high-quality things, you want to check out Stardust's mailing list and tell Raw that Val sent you, and you'll actually get a discount. And his telephone number is 828-665-0411. That's 828-665-0411. You want to run away? You want to just get away from it all where they don't have any TVs or anything like that and just enjoy the beach and the wonderful jungle canopy and 45 minutes north of Puerto Vallarta, that would be Roberto's Bungalows and adorable 50 years ago San Pancho. What a wonderful place to go. I go down there and I get one of their little rooms with a little kitchenette on it, and within 5 hours of being in town, I was saying hello to people all over the place. It's a very friendly town, a lot of Canadians and Americans there, and the time of in a period which was like 50 years ago where everything was just simpler. Got emotional stress clean from the past? Check out Dr. Valerie. And that's Dr., D-O-C-T-O-R, all spelled out, Valerie, V-A-L-E-R-I-E.com. And if you say that I told you you could have a free consultation, you can, and you can do that by calling 310-455-8623. I can really neutralize those things that annoy you. It's fun. It's quantum physics. Hop over to our website at wakingupinamerica.com, and you'll see Race for the Rainforest. You'll see a lot of interesting things there, including my new cartoon image of Barack Obama crossing off the different issues and the amendments of the things that are so powerful and positive for us. Oh, gosh, the Constitution, bless our hearts. It's our job to keep it going. And actually, it's our job to make sure that it shows up the way it was. It's been adulterated a lot, but as CW would tell you, most of those adulterations weren't even legal, were they, CW? As I recall, the a lot of the amendments to the Constitution never were truly ratified.
Well, the biggest one is the 14th Amendment, of course, and there's always been argument whether that's been ratified correctly or not.
I think it was decided it was not, hasn't it?
I think you're correct.
Why don't you tell them what the 14th Amendment is?
It's the one in the Constitution.
Okay, I'm going to look it up, okay? I'm not leaving it at that. My Constitution is on the other table.
The bottom line with the 14th Amendment is when you're, it's dealing with your basic rights as a person. And
I'm going to save your button in a minute.
You're going to save my button in a minute?
Amend.
It came about, what was it, after the Civil War, as I recall.
Yeah, it did.
And it had to do with citizenship. And it's the broad definition of citizenship. And it goes back to overruling the decision of Dred Scott versus Sanford in 1857, as I'm starting to recall. Which held the slaves and descendants that were not citizens of the United States not entitled to constitutional rights. And
you're doing really well. I'm so proud
of you. Pardon me?
I said I'm so proud of you. You're doing real well. I just pulled up Wikipedia.
I had to think about this.
I know you did good. You did really good.
And it also has to do with applying our Bill of Rights. And one of the things that took place...
It's also the right to citizenship for all those born in the U.S. And that you actually get to have personal liberties. I mean, this is a pretty good amendment.
It is a good amendment.
But no, but as far as I know, it wasn't really truly ratified, because didn't the South walk out on this amendment? As I recall?
They did, but they didn't walk out on it for what the authorities want you to think they walked out.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just simply saying that because they walked out, there was never ratification.
Correct.
That's the only point I'm making. I actually think it's a pretty good amendment as far as I know, unless somebody shows me something different.
Well, let's not forget, it was part of the Reconstruction Amendment. It's known as the Reconstruction Amendment, and I believe that was in 1868, as I recall. And the whole idea was to bring about the rights of every U.S. person, every person in America.
So check out the 14th Amendment. I think you'll like it. It's the right to citizenship. It's the right to immigration. It's
due process, mm-hmm, equal protection, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, incorporation. It had to do with appointment of representatives, I believe. Let me think of some other things. Participants. It talked about participants in rebellion. Here's a good one, as I recall. Validity of public debt.
What? Oh, validity did you
of
say?
Public debt.
Oh, wow, that's good. I like that.
Yeah.
What did it say about it?
You really want to put me on the spot.
Validity of public debt.
Let me think. I think it was in Section 4. It confirmed the legitimacy of all the United States public debt, as I recall. And it was it was legislated by Congress at that time.
Huh. I just found it, okay? Validity of public debt?
Uh-huh. It goes all the way back to, let's see. The English and the French banks, I think, lent money to the South during the war. See, that's how the Confederacy was funded.
Yeah.
And all this, as late as 1935, I believe there was another court case, correct me if I'm wrong, Perry versus United States in the Supreme Court, and they ruled voiding the government bond that went beyond the congressional power during that time, as I recall.
Hmm. Well, it's an interesting thing, and I was just, what I was actually thinking, CW, was I'm going to bring over my Constitution for these shows in the future.
Yes, because I don't want to be misquoted on anything.
Well, I'm not even thinking that. I just want to refresh myself. I recommend that you pick up a Constitution and go through it. I did that a while back, but it's not a bad thing to do again, because then you can see what it is that you're being talked out of.
You know, Dr. Val, you're reminding me. People ask me all the time, they say, CW, you're not an attorney. A lot of you that work together, you're not attorneys. What gives you the authority what you're doing? And it starts with the Constitution, but in the Declaration of the Independence, that's where the authority comes in. And if you ever read, I think you read the first few paragraphs, it states clearly that we, the people now, have the authority to correct things in our government if we see it going awry. Now, let me ask you something, Dr. Val, and a question for everybody else. Do we see anything going awry here?
Do we see anything that's not going awry here?
There you go.
Here's the thing. I'm going to come back to the bankruptcy thing, because I promised that we'd throw a lot of wrenches in the machinery, so to speak, CW. Mm-hmm. And I was in court probably only for about a half an hour, and I watched at least 10 people being told to go home, pack their bags, and either sell their houses or move out of them.
And they probably reluctantly did so.
And they all agreed to do that, and I'm sure that they did it. And as I sat there, I went, this is criminal. This is the burglars, okay?
Yep.
Because even though I liked the judge, and I like her very much, actually, I was inside of her system. The way she was dealing inside of her system always leaned at least towards giving the person in bankruptcy more time. The banks, you know, she's playing good cop.
Well, she's appearing to play good cop.
Yeah, she's.
But believe me, she's on the side of the person moving against you.
Exactly, and this is the temptation. You know, I did this when I was a marriage, family, and child counselor, taking my exams as well. I couldn't help messing with them.
You didn't.
I did.
Uh-oh, I got to hear this.
It's a long story. I'll actually tell you privately, but it's very funny. Because I don't want to distract off of this.
We can do what the judge did. We'll give you 3 minutes.
I watched those 10 people get ready to go home, and I just sat there. And when I went through the process and she judged against me, I knew that I could do the negative averment, mm-hmm, because of the Alabama court thing that Tim has already, what do you call it? He's already pioneered. He was the pioneer in negative averments. This is the man that actually created them. So I have that as an option.
Let's back up just a moment.
The paperwork for it? Yeah, he did.
The current paperwork he created, but the negative averment was something that was in old law sometime back then.
No, the paperwork. I'm sorry if I misled you.
Yeah, he didn't create the law or anything like that.
No. He created the paperwork. See, I'd heard about this stuff for years, CW. In fact, in the mid-1950s, 1995, I was asked to be program director for a secured party creditor radio station. They didn't have the paperwork. I was watching them all go to jail.
Oh, Lord.
I didn't want to do that. So when I got jammed with the bankruptcy thing here, and I got jammed with losing my homes and things like that, then I had to do something different. So if you get nothing else out of this program, it's that if you go to bankruptcy court and they tell you to go home and pack your bags and get out of there, you're just beginning, you're not ending, because there's so much more that you can do. And one of the things that I was remembering about CW, isn't there a process by where you can actually disconnect the bank from your property by changing trustees or something?
Well, there are several remedies available, even in the equity system. I'm not sure of the one you're speaking to, but the one thing I'd be looking at right away if I'm in foreclosure, I want to make sure that they're doing it correctly. In other words, make sure you don't have an illegal foreclosure coming after you, and don't be a sheeple just because they said so.
Now, how would you know it was illegal, okay? What would be the signs for that?
Let me give you examples of an illegal foreclosure. Maybe they don't follow the steps as required by law.
What are the steps that are required by law?
You'll have to look that up in every state. Every state.
Okay, so every state's going to be different.
Yeah. Maybe the foreclosure started by the wrong lender, and you end up with another lender after you're in foreclosure. That's illegal. You can't do that. And that happens on a regular basis. Your foreclosure, sometimes, get this, Dr. Brown, sometimes a foreclosure starts and you're not even behind in your payments.
Yeah, how does that work?
You got me, but it's illegal. And so you have to know these, and then you need to learn how to deal with them on the judicial process.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Is it illegal? You were saying 7 days beforehand they had to let you know they were selling your house. That doesn't sound very legal to me.
Well, if the court doesn't issue an order authorizing the sale of the home in at least 7 days before the sale date, and this might vary in different states, then your foreclosure is illegal unless it is rescheduled at a time at least 7 days from the order.
So how do you get it rescheduled?
Well, you won't reschedule it. They will.
Oh, I see. Well, you know what I do know how to do is I do know how to cloud title.
That is one way to slow things down. Now, which way did you cloud the title?
Well, what I'm
what
I have in mind for these wonderful people is a maritime lien against the house.
Well, you can do a maritime lien, but sometimes you don't have to go through you don't have time to go through the complete process. A shorter way,
yes.
A quicker way to do a cloud on a title would be to initiate a mechanics lien temporarily.
A mechanics lien?
Yeah, and you say, well, gosh, how can I put a mechanics lien on it? Well, let me show you how. Let me ask you a question, Dr. Bell. How much improvements have you made on your home? How much time have you spent taking care of the outside? How much time have you spent taking care of the property? And you haven't been paid for it.
How interesting. So would I, the real girl that's done all the work, file suit against the real woman, the straw woman who's the corporation, and tie up the title?
No, we're talking a different process. What I'm talking about is doing the mechanics lien, and you file it against the person bringing you claim, because they're saying the person bringing claim towards you, they're saying you owe money because you defaulted on a loan. Well, first of all, we can prove that's illegal, one, because that loan was taken care of. But to cloud the title, you can do the mechanics and say, hey, I did all this work and you never pay me. Look at your mortgage note that you signed carefully. I believe most of them, I'm not saying all do, but most of them will say you take care of it and they, the people that hold the note, are obligated to pay for that stuff.
Really?
Yes. Go back and review it.
God, I never
and
saw
so,
that.
So unless they've been taking care of that for you, you have the right to submit that mechanics lien. Now, a bit of caution. It may slow things down a little bit, but the judge could dismiss a mechanics lien. That's why you want to hurry up and force a maritime lien, get everything moved into a maritime lien. One of the things that would slow down a mechanics lien as well is also file it with the UCC, do UCC-1 in your state.
Rather than Washington?
You can do it in Washington. Washington's the...
I like Washington because it's online and you can get it immediately.
You can, but you can't always fill out the UCC-1 the way you want it completed.
Oh, I got it.
When you do it online. But, yeah, you can do it online, and it's very quick that way. I mean, as soon as you do it, push a button, you get your file number back. So that's excellent that way.
So that's one thing we could do. So I was thinking of that. I was also thinking of just changing the trust, you know, taking them off as trustees.
Taking them off as trustees?
Well, Deutsche Bank, I guess, bought my loan from IndyMac.
Okay, because you're in bankruptcy, right?
Yeah.
You're in bankruptcy court. Okay.
See, I went into the bankruptcy court because when I talked to Tim about it, he said, well, if you go into bankruptcy court, you could actually pay off everybody with a bond and promissory note, and that just kind of seemed like the second coming of God or something like that. So I thought, what a wonderful thing to be able to just pay off everybody I've ever borrowed money from in my entire life, you know?
And you can, and we've kind of gone full circle because we started with this, and what will happen when you submit that bond to promissory note, everybody's going to jump up and down, scream and holler, and they're going to look for the judge to say something and dismiss, and the judge is going to jump up and down, scream and holler, but then they're going to say they're not going to dismiss it. They're going to say it's frivolous. They're going to say it's this, it's that, shouldn't be allowed. But
she already said that. That's in her order, that she refuses to accept a bonded promissory note, nor does she want Deutsche Bank to accept one either.
Well, she if she stands on that, she's committing judicial suicide because you submitted lawful form of payment.
Well, I guess I just better get that lawful form of payment handled and in the next week
there
or so.
There you go.
I'm having a good time. Can you believe that I'm in bankruptcy having a good time? I took on bankruptcy as a technique to be the kind of person in the world that was just very wealthy and contributing to everyone and making sure that, you know, everybody got something for all that they'd been through. And that's why I like that one the best. But heck, if she's going to come after my house and won't leave me alone and they're showing up with dogs outside or something like that, there's another thing I can do too. I don't know if you know about this one or not, CW. It's called a B-10. Leonard Spade told me about this one.
Well, the B-10 comes, you need to be in the position you're in. You need to be in bankruptcy to force out the B-10s. And if you get a trustee to bring you a B-10, your case is going to be over with because they just committed slander. I mean, they just committed fraud.
Well, first of all, I don't know what a B-10 is. And second of all, my trustee refused to send out the B-10s but said I could send them out myself.
He or she refused to send them because they know they would commit fraud if they do it. And you stick to your guns to the man damned to send it because it's their job, not yours.
Okay, I will. That could be fun, too. So you see, the point I'm making is we haven't come to an absolute conclusion to how everything will work out yet, but does this sound like a willow weeping in the wind? Actually, if I put a negative averment on, and by the time we get done with the maritime lien, if the bankruptcy court doesn't, you know, come to its senses, we're all going to be billionaires enjoying some kind of basking sun from the way Tim Turner has got it set up. I mean,
everybody could be and would be billionaires. But the bottom line, Dr. Bell, really, it's really not about that kind of money. It's about being right, and you keep what belongs to you. It's already been paid for, and you do not need or deserve, nor anyone needs to or deserve to go through what you're going through now, to work all your life only to get in trouble with economic trouble for a little bit, and they want to come down, crashing down on you because you have an asset they want.
Well, here's the outrageous gall to it all.
That's what we're going to put a stop to this.
Well, we are actually, the stop's already occurring, isn't it? I mean, to me, if you want to send an email to val@wakingupinamerica.com, I have some pictorial examples of how the state seals have disappeared from the state websites, which I take as a good sign, CW, because to me
I
that
I know what
means...
you're talking about now. You're talking about all the letters that went out to the governors.
Yeah, I am. And I was talking about the fact that a lot of stuff is quotes, I'm putting quotes around invisible.
Right.
But take a look at all the options that I just gave for an impossible situation. I couldn't have done that all by myself. There's a lot of people working and developing things. The governors of 50 states, everybody thought they were going to be arrested. What got arrested was their bonds. And whether
that's
you know it or not, they can sit in their offices and they can smoke cigars or do whatever they want, but they don't really get to do anything when their bonds are arrested.
Well, you heard Washington is broke, right?
Come on, Washington's been broke since the very beginning.
So how do they keep operating if they have no money?
Well, they just print it, for God's sakes.
That's right, they just print it. And because they're printing it, that's one of the reasons why our economy keeps sinking. We keep flooding the market with money, not concerned about what's going to happen tomorrow. Let's just take care of today. Those presses have got to stop.
Oh, this is so funny. This is so funny. I'm trying to find that one that I was reading to you. The one about the gold. I love it. So I got an email.
Did you hear today, just today, what the plan is for many people who are in foreclosures?
No.
The plan is for the feds to capture these homes and divvy them up to the poor people.
What?
Yeah, look it up. Google that.
Oh, get me going.
Another famous radio host besides you, Dr. Val, was talking about it today.
Yeah. So I really am enjoying this whole conversation about money and stuff because I am reading about how China recently received a large shipment of gold from the U.S., 6,000 bars weighing more than 400 ounces each in CW.
And were they...
they were counterfeit.
...to assay them, and they drilled them out and found out there wasn't gold inside.
You're right, because you see, whatever was the core is harder than gold, because gold's really soft, and so they found out that they had bought all of these nicely steel-covered, oh, God, gold bars.
Gold bars.
So these little bars, these little 400-ounce fakes, are actually permeating all the international markets, and it could cause the entire international market to collapse.
It very well could.
So the games never go on. You guys, you know what bumping is, CW?
Bumping?
In stocks, do you know what it is? Bumping?
No. I thought it was that a dance back in the 70s?
Well, that one, the bump. No, that was good.
Oh.
We could have a good bump party. Actually, that was more fun. And, well, I suppose if you were a financial thief, burglar. I like this burglar thing. If you're a financial burglar, here's what the financial burglars do. They buy a stock, and then they tell all their friends to buy it, and then they run it up, and then they sell it all out at the same time. So they bump the stock up to a higher level, and then they skim the cream off it and let it tumble.
Don't people go to jail for that?
You have to get caught.
Oh.
Remember that Rothschild guy, Nathan Rothschild?
Yes.
Now, what was his, what was 1820 when Nathan Rothschild, when Wellington and Napoleon were at it at the Battle of Waterloo? Well, 1820s?
Right. And he's the one that created the Rothschild's wealth. You know how that happened, right?
Yeah, I actually do. You go ahead and you tell your version, and then I'll put in mine if it's any different.
Well, remember the date you just mentioned, 1820, so it was back during the wars. And France, correct me if I'm wrong, France was winning the war.
England and Russia were actually, you got two wars going, and they, by the way, pulled the same junk at both of them, okay? That's probably why
you're right.
In that way, Napoleon was actually after the English, and he was winning. And Nathan was there, and he saw that Napoleon was this right? No.
It was
not right. I just screwed it up, too.
He was losing, wasn't he?
No, they.
I think we.
They thought Napoleon was winning. Okay, and what happened is that the Russians came in and helped the English.
But he went back to the other country and said they were losing.
Yes, and he did it on purpose. Okay,
he did it on purpose
because he caused the stock market to crash.
He caused it to crash. He bought it all up then, and then when everything when they won, the stock market flourished. He sold it off, and he was worth billions.
And then he did the same thing in France, and that's how they got their money.
In France.
Okay, so basically wars are started and sold. Well, the banks did the same thing with us in the housing.
That's correct.
So we had houses that were probably worth $300,000 or $400,000 selling in lotteries for over $1 million. Okay, and that kept going on and going on and going on and going on, and there was a lot of money being made in that, and that was called the bubble. Okay, and so a lot of the people that are in bankruptcy court bought houses for $700,000-$900,000, had jobs, were making payments on them, and then the market crashed, and then they lost their jobs and things of that nature. So you have bankruptcies happening at an incredible rate. Out of those bankruptcies that are happening at an incredible rate, only a handful of them actually know that they don't have to just swim out the door with tide, and that's what we wanted you to know today. CW, we're almost out of time here. Is there something you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Have a healthy and prosperous day, and go do your research.
Absolutely, do your research, and I hope you got a lot going. And if you're in bankruptcy, hey, it's a gift. And we'll tell you more and more about that. Please visit our website at wakingupinamerica.com, and next week we'll have the Restore America video there and also the declaration. And thank you so much for being here. You guys rock.
And it's time to open. This is for you. This is for all you new, poor and
thank you for joining us today for Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. Waking Up in America can be heard live every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time on voiceamerica.com, and Valerie welcomes all emails at heavenincorporated.com.